folks have long speculated about Whitney Houston's sexuality, from her close relationship with her manager Robin Crawford to gossipy rumors that she was involved in a love triangle with actors Kelly McGillis and Jodie Foster.
Now, 7 years after Whitney's death, Robin Crawford has put it all out there in her new book, A Song for You, My Life with Whitney Houston, where she finally sheds light on her relationship with the singer and what she thinks really ruined Whitney's life.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to take a look at Robin Crawford's new book and other wild celebrity stories, from Richard Gere's gerbil rumors to Rod Stewart's goblet of manjuice. And who started it and why?
Plus, Star Trek's George Takei's endorsement of Pete Buttigieg for president comes off like he's reading Shatner.
And South Dakota has a new anti-drug awareness campaign whose slogan is, Meth, we're on it! I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way.
Okay, if you're gonna do it, you gotta do it. If you're gonna do it,
eat me out.
You gotta do it. Am I Robin? Do I look like just because my hair is short and I shave my mustache for you does not mean I am Robin Crawford.
On today's Feast of Fun, comedian Matt Brown talks about Robin Crawford's brand new book,
A Song for You. We need to start with the cover, because I feel like you got to take first things first.
What's on the cover?
And when you look at the cover, it's a beautiful picture. It's like an orange and black cover, slightly Halloween-y, but like not really. It's this really pretty picture of Robin and Whitney. It looks like to be like 1992, 93-ish. Yeah. And Robin has this really cute, completely natural little Richard pencil mustache. And she picked that picture for the cover because she's trying to let everybody know that she was Whitney's man.
She was the stud, as they called him,
right? She was the stud. She was Whitney's entire nigga. Like, that was, okay, Whitney's pussy belonged to Robin Crawford, okay? That is the point. She put that mustache photo on the front for a reason.
What do you think is the biggest groundbreaking thing? Because I feel like the Whitney Houston documentary kind of already spells it all out and shows us the dysfunctional relationship, not only that Whitney Houston had with Robin and her own bisexuality, mm-hmm. but with her mother and Bobby Brown and everybody else.
Well, for starters, I just want to make it clear that I am joking, because I'm friendly with people who actually do know Whitney. Well, did know Whitney when she was alive. So, like, I'm not trying to be, like, a complete
crime. This might, like, ruin those relationships.
One by one.
Are you like Whitney Houston when it comes to gay stand-up comedy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I just, like, I do not associate with the others. I'm on my own level. No.
Do you, like, berate your daughter and tell her that she's not got your natural looks, that you got your father's looks?
No, but I do pull like a Faye Dunaway Mommy Dearest and just say, I will always beat you, and I just kind of move on. That's sort of my technique. But I think the most revelatory thing from the book, honestly, because Robin really gets into it because Robin saw this, is really how distant and like not friendly or close Whitney was with her mom.
With Sissy Houston.
Yeah, with Sissy Houston, the very, very famous and accomplished background singer and vocal arranger. She did the backup vocals and the arrangements on every record you listen to in the 70s and the 80s. Mm. She'd, from everyone from like Chaka Khan to Aretha Franklin to the Rolling Stones.
And her mother was ultra religious.
She was ultra, ultra religious. And they just had this sort of distant relationship. They literally called Sissy Big Cuda because...
Big what?
Big Cuda. And, like, literally spelled out in the book, C-U-D-D-A, like, Big Cuda, because, like, Barracuda, like, she was gonna come eat your ass alive, because, like, Sissy didn't fuck around. Mm. And, like, she taught Whitney how to sing, like, as her, like, direct vocal coach, and that's a very, like, uptight relationship as someone who did that for 7 years.
And then she studied opera.
Yeah, I studied opera and thought I was gonna be fucking Black Pavarotti, and where'd that get me? And fucking, you know, Irish bars telling dick jokes. But they just weren't close, and they conflicted a lot. And, like, Sissy hinted at it a little bit in her own book, but Robin really just kind of just let it all hang out, that, like, Whitney's relationship with her family was really something that they depended on her, mm-hmm. not really she needing them.
But also, the two, didn't she kind of leave Robin because of the family pressure? Or was it because of the money?
Well, okay. There's a lot. You're asking a loaded question, and I just respect Whitney as an artist. Okay, so,
and she, what she broke up with Robin, for people that don't know, is she gave Robin a Bible and said, we need to stop the physical aspect of our relationship.
Ain't
and
that like, a,
and here's the Bible.
Ain't that a good way to break it off, Fausto? Like, okay, let's say like you're hooking
Jesus up. Jesus is a trick stealing bitch.
Okay, because like let's say you're hooking up with a guy on Grindr, like, and you're we're gonna say you're a verse top in this situation because I like fantasy. So Fausto,
what have I done to you today?
Just invite me to your home and feed me.
Swinging at me.
I really did. So let's say you're hooking up with a guy on Grindr and like you're fucking him, and then you notice that you like, I don't know, like maybe there's like pimples on his ass, or like you're getting painted, or like it's just not the experience that you paid for. What if you just brought out the Bible? Like, isn't that a great way to just tell someone the sex is over?
You know,
just pull the Bible out of the nightstand and just move on.
They do say, I have a relationship now with Jesus. And in a lot of ways, he's a trick stealing bitch.
I'm not gay no more.
Yeah.
I don't like men no more. I never like men. Like, oh yeah, all that shit.
He was in a litigation with the church over who owned that performance, the guy who did it. I don't like men no more. I like women. Women, 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 women.
I think the gay community owns that performance from here to infinity. I really think that's who, we own the night, as Pat Buttigieg would say.
Well, so I think, you know, in terms of Robin Crawford's book, it strikes me as a little bit too little too late, isn't it? I mean, she could have put out this book a decade ago. Why is she doing it today?
Well, Whitney was still alive a decade ago,
wasn't
she?
Yeah.
Well, why wait, like, after the documentary was done,
I'm thinking,
example?
Because the documentary was done, so people were more, like, already the tea had been spilled. There was people that had, her hairdresser said, and, like, you know, Whitney was a sex, she liked to sex with everybody.
Yeah,
she
no, was Whitney was horny. Machine. Most musicians are super horny.
You know, and then you put cocaine on top of that, too, and your inhibitions are like, woo!
Yeah, because women don't have the soft dick problem, so they can just, you know, live their entire life. Mm. Yeah, yeah. But, the other thing that I think the reason that why Robin possibly waited till after a documentary come out is because Robin doesn't really believe the sexual molestation allegations. She says that Whitney and Dee Dee had a close relationship, that they were friendly, that, like, you know, grew up together. Like, that's my auntie.
So she's denying that Whitney Houston was molested.
She doesn't
by her
believe
aunt.
That's true. I don't. She doesn't really. She refutes that.
That
I believe
was Dionne Warwick's sister.
Dionne Warwick's sister, Dee Dee.
Okay.
And then
Dionne
Warwick is just a close personal hero. I love her.
My favorite thing about this whole thing is that Robin went on Wendy Williams talk show and talked about how she and Whitney one time got into her car and parked outside the studio waiting to jump her because they didn't like how Wendy Williams was talking about Whitney Houston.
And they didn't even know what she looked like at that point.
No, because she was on the radio. She didn't have a book yet. Nobody knew. And this was like early, early internet days.
And so Whitney was saying that she was a lesbian at that point in time. There was rumors, right?
There was the rumors because Wendy was always talking and Whitney would hear it on the radio because she'd lived a lot of the time for the 90s and early 2000s in New Jersey before Bobby took her ass to Atlanta and we never saw her again. Act right.
I remember there was a rumor going around that there was a three-way lesbian love affair between Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston, and Kelly McGillis.
That's not how it went.
What country music awards show bathroom did you see that written at a fucking stall? Is that like from the inside of Reba McEntire's ham?
I'll tell the story because this is a rumor that went around in the 80s before anything was on television.
Oh my God.
Before the internet. It was just like gossip that every gay person knew.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, we didn't have Twitter back then. So this spread word of mouth.
Like Richard Gere and his gerbil.
Yes, exactly like Richard Gere and his gerbil. So Kelly McGillis and Jodie Foster did that movie where Jodie Foster was attacked, the accused, on a pinball table. Mm-hmm. So Kelly McGillis paid her lawyer defending her in court.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitney supposedly was having an affair with Kelly McGillis, I think it was, and Jodie Foster, Jodie Foster and Kelly McGillis started having the affair, and Whitney was pissed, and the came in and like busted it up, and there was a fight, and there was a brawl. Now, Kelly McGillis has since come out of the closet, too, right? And Jodie Foster, I think she's in the soft closet still. Like, she's
talks
like,
about
I love my Sydney. I always will, even though they're not together anymore.
She cried at an award show during an acceptance speech, so she's a lesbian.
And so, like, I don't think that's covered anywhere in this book, because otherwise it would be all over the news. But that's what I want to know.
Well, the reason I don't really think that's true is because the one person I do know closely that did, like, actually, like, meet Whitney and spend time with her was very, like, dominant about the fact that Whitney was so pro-black and like was really only found black men attractive. Mm-hmm. And like, I couldn't see her being with a white woman either. Mm. Like, it just seems implausible.
Kelly McGillis did have kinky hair, though.
I mean, Lisa Bonet Ware. I don't know. Just like from people I know from who knew her, okay. And then the kind of guys that she was always seen with, mm-hmm. And then like it just doesn't seem like of type for her to like have some random Hollywood affair with these two white actresses. Like it's just like,
well, how did you think a rumor like that got started?
Because everybody knew that there were rumors about all of them, so why not put them all together? Mm. Like, you know?
Well, that's the thing about, like, in the public consciousness, when you think about, like, a lot of those rumors, like Richard Gere with a hamster up his ass, or Rod Stewart drinking a goblet of cum.
He knows who started that rumor, too.
Who started? Rod Stewart?
Robert Stewart, yeah.
His ex-boyfriend?
No. It was, like, a bandmate of his, and, like, I guess, like, his, like, so they were traveling to Australia, and he fired him because the bandmate brought home like somebody to the room, and I guess the room he was sharing with mm-hmm. Rod Stewart's son or something like that. Oh. So yeah, it got weird. I think that's how it went.
Yeah.
And so I forget what interview he talks about that in, but he's just like, yeah, I had heard that and it went around for years. It was a chalice of
wait cum. So he kicked the guy out of a hotel for trying to fuck like a groupie in the same room as his son. Yeah. And so then the guy was like, well, Rod Stewart drinks cum
and had to get his stomach pumped.
I hate everybody.
People are terrible.
That's some bullshit.
I really try not to start any rumors that don't have legs.
Everybody knows that was Barry Manilow.
Yeah, and the thing with Richard Gere, like a couple of writers for the National Enquirer spent mm-hmm. a lot of money and effort to try to verify if Richard Gere had been hospitalized, and Cindy Crawford accompanied him to the hospital mm-hmm. because he had a gerbil stuck up his ass. And I'm just like, it seems so ridiculous, like in 2019 mm-hmm. to talk about it, but a lot of people believe yeah. this stuff.
Well, I wonder if they just tried to villainize him too, because he was in that movie American Gigolo, and so he was a a bisexual hustler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're like, yo man, if you're gonna play queer, you're gonna pay the price.
I would believe that like Cindy Crawford ate his ass and her mole fell off and went in his body.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. For the past 15 years, our microphones, hard drives, mixers, and cables have fearlessly been recording podcasts with thousands of legendary LGBTQ artists. Right now, we need your help to save Feast of Fun. Two of our microphones are broken, our equipment and our website have had it, and are in urgent need of repairs in order to continue. Plus, we'd like to bring back our special forums for listeners and guests of the show, a truly fun place to chat without fear of having their privacy compromised or exposing themselves to Facebook. This holiday season, please consider stuffing your stocking with Feast of Fun. Go to GoFundMe.com/SaveFeastOfFun and pledge any amount today. Thank you.
I would believe that.
I feel like this gerbil thing's happened long before he was with Cindy Crawford.
So do you guys want to know the last word on this?
What's the last word?
In 2006, mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, God.
Publicly stated that he believes Richard Gere blames him for starting the rumor.
That's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
He was kind of toying with the idea that he might have started that.
Okay, so like a rumor from the man who brought you Rocky.
They had a rivalry at the time period when Richard Gere was at the height of his career, and so was Sylvester Stallone. And so I guess he was just like pissed off at him and started that rumor.
I just love hearing that in like a Jersey accent. Like, hey, Tony, you was a faggot. No, but I got to tell you a story. Listen, Richard Gere got a mouse in his ass.
I remember one time when I told my friends that Rosie O'Donnell was a lesbian and Ellen was a lesbian. And they're
like, stop it.
And they're like, you think everybody's gay? And I'm just like, well, they're, you know, I've met Ellen mm-hmm. at physically in a lesbian bar with a woman holding her hand, waiting to use the bathroom. Like, I don't think it's reasonable to think that Ellen DeGeneres is
probably
on this show. I've been accused of that, you know, in 15 years that we've been doing the podcast.
The person that was for me in my life with my family was my mom was just like, Matthew Anderson Cooper is not gay.
Yeah.
Years. I remember just like, Matthew, you just think everybody's like you.
Queen Latifah, though, she's still not come out yet, but everybody's kind of now accepting the fact that she's probably
her strap-on's bigger than I am. God, Queen Latifah's a grown-ass man.
And my favorite celebrity sex scandal rumor is everything about, like, Dolly Parton. If you start digging around on the internet,
she's a lesbian. She used to fuck her friend Judy. She has tattoos. Like, there are all these rumors.
She's a brunette underneath that blonde wig.
Duh. She's gray. She's white.
Like, well, I mean, back in the day.
I'm sure. I don't think anything
she
about...
She looked like more like Elvira than anything else.
Oh, that's a look. That would be a look. Couldn't you see her? Like the jewels going into the tits and then just like the nails and shit. I'd be into it.
Dolly Parton wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You on the same evening. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And then, so Dolly Parton was... And I think maybe this is why those lesbian rumors are kind of tied to Dolly Parton, is because of the success of that song, I Will Always Love You, which Dolly Parton says she was so moved that she had to stop driving, pull over to the side of the road, and started weeping.
When she heard Whitney sing
she's
it.
She's like, I'm going to make so much money.
Oh, my God. She probably buys a house every year with her I Will Always Love You money.
I know. She don't have to work for the rest of the life. That's what kind of person Dolly Parton is, that she's still touring and performing. And, you know, she doesn't have to do anything.
No, that's why people who have money, because they pretend like they don't have any. You just fantasize like they have this weird BDSM fantasy about their wallet, like getting like its nipples burned off or whatever. Like they think like that's the bad thing that's going to happen to them.
And part of it is like, you know, when I think about a lot of LGBTQ entertainers and megastars, there is this weird undercurrent of hostility to the public because the public is so obsessed with their sexual and gender identity. They don't give them a lot of wiggle room. So I'm thinking about like RuPaul or Caitlyn Jenner. Like secretly and sometimes not so secretly, they kind of hate the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I was like an actor, like a dramatic actor, and like I was just was gay and trying to do fucking Hamlet or whatever, and someone started asking me about my sex life, I'd be like, call Jack Nicholson and ask him what he likes to do with his dick. Like, you know, it's irrelevant. It is completely not interesting. Now, if you have like a talk show or you're doing like a one person, like, you know, like based on you thing, but if you're a fucking actor whose job is to literally be a plate of glass that other people's words and intentions can shine through, I do not give a fuck what you do with your dick, ass, or throat. It is your business. And if you want to tell me, cool. If you don't, cool.
Well, part of it is, I think, you know, a lot of the people manage these big talents don't have a lot of wisdom or experience in navigating talking about your sexuality or gender identity. And so they get a lot of bad advice and they resent the advice they've gotten because it kind of puts them in a box they're not comfortable in. And it also puts them in an adversarial relationship with the truth about their lives.
And then you have like examples of really intelligent people like Harry Styles, who's straight as the day is long, but pretends to be bisexual. So that way, like everyone will buy a shit.
We got threatened with a lawsuit one time because we had posted photographs of the gay guy from Teen Wolf, who's like super out in the closet now. But it was in a jacuzzi.
He's out now. That Tyler Posey.
You're going to get sued again.
The lawyer was like, take those. It was a picture of him making out with a guy in a jacuzzi. And I thought this was really romantic and beautiful. And I just wanted to share it with people. And
I thought it was art.
I thought it was beautiful.
It was like 2008.
And the lawyer was like, govern thyself accordingly. He sounded like Foghorn Leghorn. Govern thyself accordingly. I say that all the time now.
That's hilarious. You should say that to kids when they're acting fucked up in stores and shit. Govern thyself accordingly.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I think about George Takei, who came on the podcast and talked a lot about navigating his sexual identity and how nervous he was.
Sorry, I can't. You made all your money. Go home.
Well, Ricky Martin got a huge book deal after his career was kind of settled.
And those little boys he's forcing to grow out their hair and become trans. Look at the pictures. I'm scared. I'm scared.
But so George Takei talked about being in a gay bathhouse in Indiana.
Yeah.
And he was looking for sex. And somebody came up to him and said, I am Pete Buttigieg.
You will vote for me for president.
Oh, you know he loves that old saggy Asian ass. He's just digging in.
So, no, but actually, George Takei said somebody went up to his ear and said, you can
Sulu. Oh, God.
And it made the blood leave his body, and it, you know, and he just hightailed out of the gay bathhouse. Couldn't you can listen it. To that on our archives, feastofun.com/ Plus, the original Plus, honey, not Disney Plus, not World of Wonder Plus, not Apple Plus, not under this Plus.
Google Plus.
Not Google Plus. I think it still is, isn't it?
I don't know.
HIV Plus.
Red Cross Plus. There's signs of fucking plus sign.
Sigma Plus. 1 + 1 = 2.
Equals feastoffun.com.
Yes. And so anyways, now Georgia Kay is in the news again, endorsing Pete Buttigieg for president.
Another thing that makes me seasick. Oh,
God. I endorse Pete Buttigieg.
I'm telling you, right?
He's the kind of man I think can let lead me read this country.
He did this very generic quote. I guess I could play the audio.
At the end, they didn't do soundproof the room he's in, and you hear sirens coming, and you're like, oh, they're coming to take poor George away.
There you go.
The times demand more of us. They demand a thoughtful leader who affirms, emphasis on the firm, the promise of America and our ability to make real progress. That's why I'm proud to endorse Pete Buttigieg for president of the United States. Oh my.
He should have said, oh my. I'm just saying, if Pete Buttigieg is actually elected to be president, I'm straight for the next 4 years. I'm going back in the closet. I like pussy. I'm having kids.
Now,
I'm going to farm.
You're a very, how would I describe your political philosophy?
Scattered, honestly.
You're kind of like over it all. You have this undercurrent that a lot of African Americans have, which is like, nothing's going to change. I've given up hope.
The system's rigged.
I've been in the storm so long. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
I'm sorry. So what is your animosity? Why do you have like a gut response, a negative response to Pete Buttigieg?
Well, for starters, when he's elected, if it happens, I'm going to like have a picture with a bloody mask the next day. Like, I'm on my Kathy Griffin shit. Like, it's totally happening. Like, Secret Service wear. Call me.
That's homophobic.
I'm a homophobe. I have been eating ass for like years. Just dig it in there.
You're a self-loathing gay.
I know. Yeah, me and Milo. Let's join the fucking straight pride parade.
But seriously speaking, like your reaction is about Pete's policy. It's the way he addresses and handles racism.
Okay. Well, one, I don't think he handles racism well. Anyone who lives in South Bend, Indiana will tell you that like shit's just fucked up. And also, to be quite honest, as someone who's fucking educated and is about to graduate with a degree in sociology and African American studies, I'm really, really, really potently aware of the fact that identity politics really ain't gonna do jack shit for you. Like, if we actually want progress to be made for all of us, it's gotta just be the most progressive policy you can find on the face of planet Earth. You need to like just go from like bringing up all of our minority population from the ground up, so that way there's equity across. And so for me to go with the gay guy because he's gay, because he really doesn't have that much to offer other than very vague policy, an ugly husband, and some and like what, a house with a two-car garage. I don't know what he brings to the table.
Did you not read his Douglas plan?
Frederick Douglass?
I don't know. It's named after Fred Douglass.
It's named after goddamn Frederick Douglass.
And it features the stock photo that it has is from Kenya.
Oh, God.
Of a mom and a kid. And people are kind of like taking them to task.
That's the other side of Africa that we weren't even taken from, you stupid motherfucker. Oh, my God. He couldn't even get the... West, East. Pete. Who's his consultant? Who do I call? I want their cell phone number. I want an email. You're
gonna call customer service.
I'm sending a fax. I'm pissed.
So in terms of like, politics, pushing for the most progressive candidate seems the best course of action here. I think in listening to what people who are supporters of Pete Buttigieg and more moderate or centrist candidates in the Democratic Party, their fear is that we're going to get another 4 years of Trump. And by not pushing a centrist candidate, a candidate that compromises our desire to have universal health care, access to education, lifting people out of poverty, if we compromise that, then we'll at least not have Trump. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not
though.
The case at all. That's like saying, that's like literally like conceding your values and making compromises only lets people like just fuck you in the ass even harder and longer and deeper. Like they're just going to take full advantage.
That we can be fucked with.
That we can be fucked with, that we can be bought, that there's a price, that there's a value. And what people don't really understand is that like AOC isn't saying anything Lyndon B. Johnson wouldn't be saying if he was alive right now. Like the party of the Democratic Party has gone so far to the right over the past 40 years, so slowly, so gradually that we haven't really noticed it. But like Hillary Clinton was a Republican in high school, and like
a Republican basically.
Yeah, if we're going by 1960s like senses of, you know, politics and policy and economy and shit, didn't really move. Like the politics of this country have moved so far to the right while the people on the ground have gone so far to the left. There's a real voting is so complicated because it's trying to make two magnets on repelling ends meet. Because the politicians are so conservative, but the average person on the ground wants Medicare for all, doesn't give a fuck who can get married, like all those things that everyone thinks are these big devices.
Most people are reasonable. They want reasonable things, but for some reason, you know, the rich and the people in power don't want these things.
But, you know, part of it is like we know people personally who are very enthusiastic about Pete Buttigieg.
Listen, a part of me is enthusiastic about him because, like, I do with the identity politics. It was like there's I think it's great that there's a gay man out there and he's a semi-viable candidate for president. He's smart and he's articulate.
And he's cute.
And he's cute.
And he's so charming.
I'm glad to have that. He doesn't represent my political ideas. You know, I want Medicare for all, and I want, you know, I want free university or affordable university for people, or wiping out student debt. And he's not for that kind of stuff.
And he is a charming person. And part of it is we've been dealing with this dictatorship of this boorish, offensive, arrogant monster. And so, you know, we're kind of like Whitney Houston right now. We're just kind of like in a situation where we just can't win and we're just looking for a solution.
So are you
and
saying
that solution is just even worse in some ways?
So would you say in some ways that Donald Trump is our Bobby Brown?
Yeah.
Every little step I take. that was Donald Trump when he was following Hillary during the debates in 2016.
That was wild.
I love
that you could put those things together. You have a beautiful mind.
Yeah, just on the spot, improvisational, no training.
I never saw the episode of Being Bobby Brown.
Brown.
And so he actually went in there and like dug poop out of her butthole on the show. Okay. What happened?
Okay,
there?
That was not what happened. This is not what happened. Okay, so what happened was, and you can find this on YouTube. So basically, Whitney was in a robe, getting her makeup done, trying to be a professional adult, about ready to go like have a nice dinner with her husband. And he was sitting on the toilet with the lid on it, but like just sitting on the toilet in the bathroom so he could be next to her, but like still in front of the camera. And then since he was in the bathroom, he was like, let me tell you the story about Whitney's duty bubble. And like, it was just duty bubble. Okay. Like, and it was just embarrassing and unnecessary. And honestly, that show is part of why her reputation was never really returned, because her voice didn't really, I don't think her voice was that fucked up. I think her reputation was more, it was fucked up after things like the Bravo show. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And so he pulled poop out of her butt, though. Is that correct?
One would be led to believe from the story that Bobby Brown tells, but he's known to lie a lot. So, and then Whitney was also just like shutting it down and being like, Bobby, and just like disassociating and just like going to her safe place. So like, I don't know, maybe she was really sick. Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe she couldn't beat his ass on camera. I don't know. Cause she is quoted on that show as saying, Bobby, don't make the bitch come out, which I do bring that out from time to time.
So now you're in a relationship with somebody. They have a little piece of poop that they just can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you fish it out for them?
I would fuck them. That's what I do. Because I know I'm going to get shit on my dick at some point anyway. So, like, let me get something I want first. You get something you want. We're all happy.
Okay.
Fausto, compromise.
If I said to you, Fausto, I have a little piece of, like, I got a little
I'll
nugget.
I'll do anything.
Okay.
I will do anything for you, sweetie.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's so sweet.
Now, what if
I'll put on a glove, though.
You'd put on a glove for your husband's asshole.
Come
you don't
on.
Use condoms, but you'd use a glove.
I would.
Come on.
I don't want the poop on my hand. You know, it's like, part of it is, like, sometimes you wear a condom not because you're worried about HIV. You know, you're on PrEP or STIs. You just don't want shit on your dick.
Did I ever tell you this story?
Probably
you're
not.
You're going to love this story.
Oh, I'm going to love it. So Fausto, we go from Whitney Houston to shitting on dicks.
So Fausto and I were working with the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, and we would do these community forums that were based, that would become podcasts. They were like live podcasts, and we did it. And so we had a doctor up on stage. We had a porn star, and we were talking about booty health, right?
Yeah.
And somebody else, and so like an AIDS activist was there.
One of the most popular things we've ever did. It was very popular. And it was packed.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of people there waiting to hear a porn star talk about how he cleans his asshole.
And also, 6 hours. Every bottom in America is convinced that they have the best pussy from sea to shining sea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's really, like, everyone's just like, thinking they're sitting on a secret, just like waiting to learn.
So Foster's up on the stage with the doctor, the porn star, the AIDS activist, and I'm out, you know, doing my best like Phil Donahue in the audience with my microphone, and I'm taking questions from the audience.
You even married Marlo Thomas briefly, just for the Q&A.
I was such a fan of that girl when I was growing up.
the hair.
When her little mannequin winked, my heart fluttered every time.
But, you know, have you ever seen the Saturday Night Live skit Appalachian Emergency Room?
No, but it sounds like my childhood.
Where you just have one trashy person after another asking for medical information. And this one man stands up.
I've got the microphone holding it to him. And he goes, excuse me, I have a legitimate question about fisking. And he's... So he said fisking, so I'm just like, oh,
fisking. What's fisking?
So I think he meant to say fisking. He's just like, and then he pointed to
me. He said, yes, what is it?
What?
He said, we said, yes, what is it?
Oh, we said, yes. And so he points at his arm about to indicate like how far up he's gotten, basically. And saying like, how do you get the smell off your hand and arm after you fist somebody? And the doctor is like, everybody in the audience is like, wash it off. And the doctor's like, well, you wash it off. And he's just like, well, I tried that. He's just like, well, we have a thing in the medical industry, and it's dilute, dilute, dilute. So you just keep washing it, and you keep washing it until it's gone. But I'll tell you, you know, he could have given him like more of a scientific answer. Is the reason
Perry wash?
The reason why it does kind of linger is because
your intestines.
Well, the smell is because it's carried on oil, because you have oils in your poop and your feces, right?
Okay.
And I forget, they have a name for
it. It's like that old oil perfume, like oil musk. You can't get rid of it.
You can't get rid of it. And so that's the thing, is you just have to use Dawn or vinegar, something to, and even like skunks, like that smell from a skunk. Is because of the oil, so you just have to use Dawn, vinegar, anything that's gonna cut the grease.
So if a guy smells like your ass, he's like, I gave you my musk. Oh my god, that's amazing.
That's what it was.
That's amazing.
A legitimate question about fisking.
I'm gonna spray you, daddy. Oh god, I'm a skunk. Oh, that's amazing.
The state of South Dakota, where all great things come from. I guess they have two Dakotas because when...
I blame Thomas Jefferson already.
It was to keep basically people of color oppressed.
I would guess the Indians.
Yeah. So it was the idea of giving these conservative states two senators to give them more representation. So they split the Dakotas into North and South Dakota. They did that with North and South Carolina, a lot of places like that. And places that should have been one state were actually split into two, so they could have more representation.
It would have been a big fucking casino.
Yeah. So right now, South Dakota has a new anti-drug awareness campaign whose slogan is "Meth, we're on it."
Well,
it's true.
Not a lie.
Can I tell you what I saw on campus today?
What'd you
say? Okay, so I was, because I go to college, I still, for no reason, oh my God. Ugh. But I was doing homework in like the gender and sexuality center, like the faggot circle. And I saw this little, it was like a poster, and it just says, consent is hot rape.
What?
And then it's because there was something blocking it, and it really says consent is hot, rape is not. But I swear to you, I just saw consent is hot rape. And I was just like, oh my God.
Well, you know, it's like a lot of people do have that kind of fantasy of being taken, so, but you have to consent to it, right?
Definitely. But just like, imagine walking into a room and seeing a poster that says consent is hot rape. Like, I would wait for like the nets and the guns and security. Like, I think I was going to get taken.
Oh my God. Shit. What do you guys make of the meth awareness campaign ad?
Well, I think it's
helpful.
They're coming to the reckoning is that, you know, that they understand that they're on it, but they're also like, they mean to say like people are on it, but also like we're taking care of business, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to mean?
I think it, you know, there's a little bit of a tongue in cheek aspect to it for sure. And I do appreciate the humor of it. Like, you know, it would be like Iowa being like, we're a bunch of meth heads.
They are.
And you're like,
those Midwestern states and those small towns are just plagued by meth.
It happens.
And oxytocin.
And you think, you know, the more drugs
oxytocin
on,
and oxycodone are different things, Mark.
What did I say?
Oxycodone or oxytocin?
You said oxytocin, which is a chemical that's released when you kiss somebody and you like them a lot.
Cuddle drug.
Yeah.
Oxycodone. And I confuse the two.
You know, you're in love. You can't feel anything. You're asleep at the wheel and your grandkids are dead. You know, they just all blend together.
It's all the same thing.
You know,
I don't know. I just always feel like, you know, a lot of these awareness campaigns when it comes to public health usually miss the mark tremendously.
And they get, well, I don't know. Cause like I was sort of when I remember seeing like those weed commercials when I was like 10 or whatever. And it was like the girl who looked like she'd been put through a ringer. Like she was completely flat. And she's like, she just hasn't been the same since she smoked weed. I was like, if it's going to make that happen, we should try at least once.
Like, I want to be that thin.
Yeah. I want to be flat Stanley. Like I want to be in on it. So like, I think
flat Stanley was a book that you read when you were a kid
and also was written in 1952.
It freaked me out as a kid. This is a story of a little boy whose bulletin board fell on him while he's sleeping at night,
you know,
and he was crushed but not to death, and in the morning he woke up flat.
That's what happened to Mariah Carey, skinny legend.
And so in the book, Flat Stanley is navigating life as a two-dimensional person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having a really hard time fitting in.
He's shallow.
He's very shallow. and they figure out how to disguise him as a painting by dressing up in drag as a little girl.
Doesn't that always help?
And they put
lipstick's
him in
never a bad idea.
In the painting, and he catches art thieves in the middle of the night because he's like hiding in the painting.
And that's just the first book, guys.
There was a sequel where they put him in an envelope and mailed him.
Because he's flat, like
he's flat
paper.
Like paper.
Yeah,
they should have done a pop-up book with him, and it's just like nothing pops up. It's just flat.
Well, there is a porn video, and it's called Valley of the Paper Dolls. It's really, it's complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah, and you know Jackie Paper, Puff the Magic Dragon, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They to this day still swear by that it has no drug references.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure none of them ever even looked at a fucking pot plant in a window. Bull fucking shit. No.
And the land of Hanalei, I guess, is a code for hashish.
In the land of Hanalei. Yeah, they were on something.
Yeah, and I got into trouble on the internet because I was like, obviously this is a drug reference. Puff the Magic. I mean, H.R. Puffin stuff is also a drug reference.
Okay,
you know, for kids.
Similar argument that I recently got into, and it ties back to our original topic. Okay, so
it's of Whitney.
Yes,
everything comes back to Whitney.
All roads lead to Rome or Whitney Houston. Depends kind of how your GPS works. But if you're gay, they all go back to Whitney. And I was getting into argument on Twitter with some people because Whitney was very firm when she was alive that the song "All the Men I Need" from her third album "I'm Your Baby Tonight" was about God.
Yeah.
Everyone who else feels like it's about getting the shit fucked out of you by some real good, you know, he's all I've got. He's all I need in this world. He's all the man I need. He fills me up, like all that stuff. Like, you know, it feels like, you know, you're getting your guns punched in.
Yeah.
But she said it was about Jesus, and I believe her.
I never once thought in my mind hearing that song that it was about God.
It's my go-to karaoke song, okay. And it's about Jesus.
All right.
What about Whitney's most iconic moment, which was her telling, not Barbara Walters, but the Diane Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, you know, you did a lot of drugs. And she's like, oh, I did drugs? Show me the receipts. Show me the receipts.
There is a fan. No. They gave her a quote. They gave her a figure. She's like, there's a drug dealer who said he sold you $730,000 worth of drugs. And she's like, $730? $730,000? I wish he could share some of that money from me. Where did I give him $730,000? I want the receipts.
Show me the receipts.
Because when I go to Atlanta in the middle of the night to get some rock cut with baking soda, I get a paper receipt like I just made a donation to the 4-H Club. That's always what happens, right? Because when I go to my weed man, when my little Puerto Rican guy named Pork Chop shows up to my house, like, you know.
Does he give you a receipt?
Oh yeah, and he signs it with his government name and gives me a social. We put a date on it.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, I have friends who are like, well, was Whitney addicted to cocaine, to crack, to meth? And I'm like, she was not addicted to anything.
She was addicted to dick.
Yeah.
And
she
singing.
Was addicted to, show me the receipts.
And singing.
And they don't know what the show me the receipts means or what it's referencing.
These ignorant children.
And I'm like, listen, people, you're listening to this podcast because we're informing you, we're educating you on show me the receipts.
But past that, I honestly really think that Whitney's image, the reason why it got so drug focused on the second half of her career, is because she was being managed by her brother's wife. She didn't have like an actual talented, qualified manager.
And Robin Crawford wasn't there.
Well, yeah. And Robin was like, Robin left around the time Pat took control. And so I just really feel like, I don't even think Whitney's drug problem was worse than a lot of people who are successful and fine and okay, who drink and who do stuff, put stuff in their nose or whatever else. Fucking Keith Richards. But they had like really strong management and teams who were interested in protecting them. Mm. And so they were able to weather through it, or at least have some sort of, you know, protection.
Veneer.
Yeah. Some sort of like, okay, we're just gonna, can you get clean for 3 months so we can go on tour? Like, you know, just stuff like that. Just people who cared enough mm-hmm. that you would be able to do that and do it well. She didn't have that. She had people who just wanted her to make money at whatever cost.
And I understand that, like, you know, an entertainer who has a lot of money riding on their career and their public image wouldn't want to accidentally say things or do things that would tarnish it. And it just seemed like with Whitney Houston, like, she was just willing to put it all out there, you know, to some degree.
I mean, because she was a girl from New Jersey. Like, she was just a regular.
I thought she was from Texas.
No,
that's Beyonce. Sorry.
Whitney Houston was from New Jersey.
Yes, not from Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Beyonce Knowles
is from Houston.
Yeah. She was just a regular fucking girl from New Jersey, and she just was a normal person.
With a voice.
Well, I'm saying, like, just as a woman, of course she was beyond talented and, like, the voice of a generation, but just as a woman, she's probably just a normal fucking person, and, like, normal people don't feel like they have to hide everything. You just kind of want to be who you are and be accepted.
Amen, sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The new Cats film musical trailer's up. People are still hating it.
Oh,
but at least
God.
They got rid of Jennifer Hudson singing Memories.
Well, that doesn't need to be in the trailer, but I've often felt like Grisabella, mostly when I was through, like, going through puberty, because I felt like a cat in heat constantly screaming, "Touch me!" That was always somebody touch me.
Unfortunately, it was your stepfather, right?
I wish I had one of those. Oh, God.
Jesus, Mark.
A man in the house. Oh, that would have been fabulous. That would have been fabulous.
I guess the turning the musical Cats into a film has been kind of a running joke in Hollywood for a long time.
Because it's been an awful play since 1987.
And in 1993, the film Six Degrees of Separation had Will Smith, Donald Sutherland, Ian McKellen, and Stalker Channing discussing the awkwardness of turning Cats into a film. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Actually, he's doing a movie.
He's in the movies?
He's directing this one, but he does act.
Really? What's he directing?
Cats.
Someone is directing a film of Cats?
Don't be snooty.
Well, you've seen it? T.S. Eliot?
Yes, years ago.
It was a benefit for some school. A disease? What?
Surely they can't make the movie of Cats.
No, of course they can.
Well, they're going to try. My father will be here, auditioning.
Cats?
He's going to use people.
What a courageous stand.
They thought of lots of ways to go. Animation.
Animation would be nice.
But he found a better way. As a matter of fact, he turned it down at first. He went to tell the producers as a courtesy all the reasons why you couldn't make a movie of Cats. And in going through all the reasons why you couldn't make a movie of Cats, he suddenly saw how you could make a movie of Cats.
Eureka in the bathtub. How wonderful.
No, I totally forgot Will Smith even did movies back then.
Yeah, he's so young in that movie.
He was supposed to play gay in that movie, but I think it was Denzel Washington told him, don't play gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody did. He's just like, okay. So they kind of de-gayed it, but there's still a little bit of a gay subtext in it.
And then they let Chris Tucker do it in Fifth Element, and now we're fine.
He went down on a woman in that, didn't he?
He had sex with a woman.
Space pussy.
I'm just saying, my ex-boyfriend said I sounded exactly like Chris Tucker in that movie.
Give us a little.
I don't know. I just talk really fast. Right. No, I just talk Rudy, really fast. And I sound name? Like
Rod,
that.
Robin Rudy. Rod Woody. You know, something like that.
No. I don't know. Because he showed me the movie and he's like, you talk like that. I'm like, I do not sound like that. I don't know any of his fucking lines.
Do you know how much money he made from those movies with Jackie Chan?
Like,
he quit like entertainment for like 10 years because he's so loaded.
He's going to be doing the fucking Chicago theater soon, though.
Is he really?
Yeah. Chris Tucker is a funny comic. Like back in the day, he was fine. Like 1995, Chris Tucker could get it.
Mm.
Nowadays, he's a little puffy.
Oh, really?
And I just watched the Eddie Murphy, like, My Name is Dolomite movie.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. I literally just watched it the other night. I'm so sad because Eddie Murphy was so hot for so long, but now he's just, like, puffy, and I'm out.
Well, he's, like, 67 years old.
But Dolomite. Rudy, Blackie's supposed to crack.
Rudy Ray Moore in his day was very puffy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he was a voice that inspired so many people, including... Richard Pryor, Eddie
Snoop
Murphy,
Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, so many people to get into show business, to be comedians or rappers. He's considered the godfather of rap. He changed stand-up comedy. I mean, he had a profound influence, and I thought it was really refreshing and very endearing to see Eddie Murphy go back to his roots to some degree as a comedian and embrace his hero that made such an impression on him as a young man.
I think it is incredibly intelligent to not make a movie for 10 years and then your first movie be Underdog and then try and do a stand-up special.
Yeah.
So he's not fucking stupid.
Well, I'm glad that I'm a big, big fan of Dolomite and Rudy Ray Moore, and I'm just glad that more people are knowing about his films and legacy.
It's on Amazon Prime. You can watch the actual movie whenever. Yeah,
it's great.
What do you think
watch
about
this good shit?
The gay erasure, though, because Dolomite was gay. Rudy Ray Moore was a gay person.
Yeah, he never married or had no kids.
Yeah, and like everybody says, he was gay. And now they did have some gay reference. Titus was his friend, and they had a scene where they're sitting around talking about these guys in prison, and they're like, they tell these stories because there's nothing else they could do. And he's like, they could be fucking.
Yes, he's like, they can fuck. And then Eddie's like, they ain't talking about that right now. And then, no, because there's another gay reference in the movie that you're making me think about.
Okay.
There, Titus makes another gay joke, like at a picnic or something. And then Eddie's like, we're trying to be at a family barbecue and not talk about nothing like that. And he just gets up and storms off like he's all mad. So, like, that's a closet queen.
Oh, yeah.
That's a closet queen.
I never thought of Rudy Ray Moore as queer in any sense.
No one thought of themselves as queer in 1972.
Well, and he was like in his films having very graphic sex with women.
Oh, yeah. Busting nuts and all, shooting up the club.
And all his songs were like, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And all this like sex positivity. He inspired Lady Reed to do that wonderful The Sensuous Black Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Can I play just a little bit of that?
You can play A Sensuous Black Woman whenever you want.
A message for the hot, sensuous black woman. Girls, shit has hit the fan. I mean shit on that lovemaking scene. It's shitty and raggedy sauerkraut. And I hope to make my message so hot that this damn record will self-destruct. You better get yourself together and get on board. It's worse than a rat race and funky, funky, funky. I mean funky for a while. It's so funky you need an axe to chop your way on through. You better stop bullshitting with that I don't feel well jive. And I got a headache game. And my nerves bad song. I'm begging you. Yes, I'm begging you. Please. Yes, stop counterfeiting and get for real. Do it. Please do it before it's too late. You better start to fuck that man. Do it when he wanna, how he wanna, and long as he wanna. Drop your drawers at the door if it's necessary. Remember, girls, you wanna keep his dick limber and his mind on you. Fuck him. Yes, fuck him. Pussy poison that motherfucker. Put pussy all over him. Fuck him till it come out his ears.
Pussy poison that motherfucker.
You can have a sensuous black woman whenever you want. I'm already here. That did sound like Amanda Lepore. You're right, Fausto. Oh, God.
You're like,
oh,
sisters.
My God. I have seen so many drag queens lip sync to The Sensuous Black Woman in my life.
I've never heard this till this moment.
Really?
Deadass.
Shit has hit the fan. Shit on that love-making scene. It's raggedy and stinky as sauerkraut.
That's beautiful.
You know, the thing, like a lot of people, they usually see it as a clip in a performance or in a lip syncing show. It's an hour long album with two sides.
Yeah, but that particular montage is like 18 minutes, I think.
It's long. By the end of it, you're just like, what did I just experience? It takes your breath away and it leaves you kind of shell-shocked because it's almost like you're having sex with Lady Reed throughout the thing.
That sounds traumatic.
Well, what's amazing too in the movie, it's like Dolemite sitting in the bar. He sees her like punch some guy out and he's like, I like her. I'm going to make her a star.
Mm-hmm. That's also a very Giger thing. She can beat ass foamy. That's very, like, we know what to look for.
It's true.
We know we're not stupid. We never were.
Matt Brown. I love Dolemite so much, and I'm glad that you enjoyed the movie so much as well, because I think it's something that's influenced me and my friends for so long, and I'm just glad that, like, new generations of comedians are finally rediscovering who Rudy Ray Moore is.
Well, I don't understand that why so many people have this sort of aversion to going back into their roots and really doing the research. History is kind of sort of linear, and if you really pay attention, you notice patterns, and you'll be a lot smarter.
Yeah. Well, get into it. It is interesting. Like, I see a lot of new artists out there who have a lot of hostility towards, popular culture that even is 10 years old.
Yeah.
And part of it is, to me, is like it's corporate America wanting to control that. You don't know that this pop star is doing a cover of a song that was popular just 15 or 20 years ago.
You want to keep it new and fresh.
Yeah. And so it's about keeping people dumb. It's killing curiosity.
Disposable.
And right? Because the image politics that we're so subject to mean that people change all the time. People kind of forget that, like, Cardi B's Lil Kim's little sister. All that shit's already been done and seen, made fun of, been part of popular culture, and then recycled, thrown out. It's all been done. All been done in 5 years.
I'm a huge Cardi B fan, and I feel like...
Okay.
Yeah.
With your Caribbean bullshit, we're doing this again.
My friend went as... for Halloween, did a mashup, and she went as Lil Kim Jong-il. She's Filipina, but she had like a little tip with a star on it. It was fun.
With the uniform and the red lipstick. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Listen, I love Cardi B and I love all the things she says and her music. And she's just somebody who
All the time she says the N-word. That makes you happy. Just brings
smiles. I really haven't paid attention to that.
Oh, yeah. It's quite present. Quite present. Because apparently if you let 5 black guys come in you can say the N-word. I think that's a magic number, I guess. I don't know.
When is she saying the N-word?
It's in there. It's in there.
Where? When? In our talk show? Or?
No.
In her songs.
In her songs.
Oh,
your songs. Is Cardi B not black?
No, she's fucking like half Dominican. Look at both of her parents.
Yeah, Dominican people don't consider themselves African American. No matter how dark you are.
No.
No matter how dark your skin is, if you are Latino, it depends, you're not black.
It depends. Like that India Moore, she's just like, don't call me Latino. I'm black. Like people see me and they see me as black. Now, Foster had a friend who we went to school with who I met later. Mm-hmm. And she was, grew up in Puerto Rico, but she was Dominican. Mm-hmm. And I called her black and she was just like, I'm not black. I'm Latino. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, now today's Latinx.
Yeah.
Rhymes with Kleenex. Because you wipe it.
Or do you not like Latinx?
Okay. If you want to use it to describe a group, fine. But, like, I don't know. Like, how often are we going to change every fucking language? Like, I'm just, as soon as we write a new diction.
It's mutable. Language changes.
I know it does.
Listen, when you're broke, the only thing you can afford to play with is language.
And I agree with that. I definitely agree that the way you talk and the way you encourage others to talk is sort of like the power of the oppressed. However, if a language is based on gender, either fix the whole thing or shut the fuck up. Don't give me one new word.
That's a big undertaking.
Well, do it or shut the fuck up.
It's modular, honey. One step at a time.
Nope. Do it or fight me.
It's the Hillary Clinton path to progress.
And you know how I feel about her.
Incremental change.
That's Richard Nixon's little sister. Tired of her.
Matt, where are you going to be performing out?
June's going to be busting out all over. So I'm going to be performing on November 24th. I'm going to be performing at Celtic Not Public House in Evanston, Illinois. And then also for all of our fans that are not in Chicago, on December November 7th, I am going to be headlining a LGBTQIA HBO Go, Amazon Prime, whatever the fuck we're called now, where I'm going to be hosting an LGBT AIDS benefit in Memphis, Tennessee.
Ooh.
Called Rainbows and Punchlines.
Wow.
So yeah, come to that. It's going to be Saturday night, December 7th, 9 p.m. I will be in Memphis, Tennessee at the Midtown Crossing Grill. Okay? We are going to be getting into some business down south.
And I'm sure you're going to get some good Memphis barbecue. They've got some good barbecue there.
It depends what they pay for. I'm on the road to make money.
Maybe I'll meet up with you and take you out for
please,
some smoked pork.
Please. Yes, pull it. Matt Brown Comic on Instagram.
You can pull
DM
my pork.
DM me whole pics or like food recommendations
you
in Memphis.
Have you been getting some more whole pics or anything?
I haven't, but I always ask because like Christmas can come whenever they want to. So that's how I feel.
Because the first time you asked, you did get some whole pics.
I did.
Somebody wrote to me like, well, you did ask. That's why I sent it.
You know what?
Like, I'm sure.
I'm friendly. Well, I mean, I'm not going to send you anything back. Maybe like a picture of my teeth. But like, just nothing sexual.
You don't send dick pics?
Oh, I do. But I've been sending the same one for so long.
Yeah.
It's
kitty porn at this point in time.
It's the equivalent of my donut tire. Like, I just whip her out upon necessity. But yeah, no, my dick, I've been the same height, weight, and dick size since I was 15. Nothing's moved. Like, if you fucked me in high school, you know what it is.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Right now, we are trying to keep this podcast going. So
Feed the children.
A lot of things are about to break or have broken. And I'm just hustling here trying to keep this show running. We are having a GoFundMe fundraiser to try to repair the audio equipment and our website so we can continue reaching fabulous people like you in 15 years into the future. Go to GoFundMe.com/SaveFeastOfFun. Today we raised $930.
Yay!
Yes! Thank you.
And a big shout out to Josh Kilmer Purcell from The Amazing Race.
Thank you.
And the Fabulous Speakman Boys, who just made a very generous contribution.
Thank you, Josh.
You are such kind, sweet people.
He's great.
But, like, computer stuff's expensive, so what's that buy? Like a bolt? Like a screw?
It buys a cable.
Half a speaker.
Like, it buys half of... Well, actually, it pays to repair one of the microphones.
That's important. Microphones are important for podcasting. Yeah, there's one in front of me.
So the hard drive that we use.
This janky one right here. That's, mm-hmm. that's the off-brand one. So
just on the off chance you need to break it out.
Mm-hmm.
So because I want for Christmas, I'm inviting all the comedians that we do the show with.
Mm-hmm.
You, Shannon Knoll, Brian Sweeney.
Don't do it the same day as the Laugh Factory holiday party or we won't come.
Well, we'll coordinate that.
I don't want to say on the podcast.
Oh, well, don't mention it.
I'm going to crash the party.
Yeah.
Can I crash the party?
I'm just saying, you don't want to invite comedians.
Can I go to this?
We'll talk.
Oh, my God. Why are you even telling me about something I can't do?
Because I want to make you cry at night.
You're a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a secret.
Oh, yeah, and a big dick.
Oh.
You know.
If there's not a hard dick within a five-mile radius, nobody's happy.
It's mm-hmm. Chicago. 5 miles. Give me 5 feet. If it's not my neighbor, I don't want it. I'm lazy.
Well, anyways, I want to thank everybody. Kai, Federico, Thomas, Daniels, Sweet Gwendolyn. Lots of amazing people through the years have support us by commenting on the shows, sharing it with their friends, interacting with the guests. We have a Facebook group called Friends for Feast of Fun.
Yes. Which Facebook, I'm happily a part of.
And you're posting. Part of and share all sorts of twisted things. And we can continue this conversation.
Gloria Swanson. That was my most recent contribution.
What was the thing about Gloria Swanson?
Because you posted a picture of this woman like sunning her asshole and vagina.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, Gloria Swanson used to do that. And then someone else commented and said the same thing because we both read it in her book.
Is that
she
a thing?
She would sun her vagina.
Yeah,
her
she said she had some sort of ailment like after she had one of her kids. And so she'd go in like her sunroom in the back of her house and just like lift her legs. And like she said it went away.
I imagine like when it comes to crabs, the reason the crabs live in your junk mm-hmm. is because they can't do very well with ultraviolet light. So, you know, showing your hole or your crotch to the sun might be a good thing.
The UV rays kill stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't believe that in any way. But if you want to show your hole to anybody, like just consent first. Consent is hot rape. Consent is hot rape.
The planet, the
ask
star.
Your neighbors. they have the same sun you do.
Go to the roof.
Should we title that or show that?
Yeah. Consent is hot rape.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Oh, I'm gonna dance.
somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody.